Welcome to the Bhakti Talk podcast, where we discuss the spiritual path through the wisdom ways and practices of our beloved guru, Swami Premadaya. We are your hosts. I am Anandadev, and there's Swami Sky. The Bhakti Talk podcast is presented by the International Centers of Divine Awakening. Visit our website at i-koda.org. And be sure to subscribe, watch us at YouTube, and find us on all social media platforms at Bhakti Talk Podcast. Today, we are going to discuss the selfless service, or seva. And seva is a profound spiritual practice for eradicating the ego. There's a lot to say about it. There's a lot to unpack. So, Swami Sky, go.
Service. What is it? What does it even mean? Seva. Yeah, seva, service, selfless service. So, I like to start with Guruji's teaching, similar to meditation. You're always meditating on something. You're also always in service of. You're always in service of something. And, you know, the question is, what are you serving? And then, is that what you want to be serving? So we'll talk about that a bit today. excuse the cough. It's nice to see you after a brief hiatus. I know that there was some vacation in there, and then there was getting very sick in there. So it's lovely to be with you again in the Bhakti Talk podcast with my guru, Bhai.
Yeah.
So to talk about service, service is one of my favorite topics because also part of Guruji's teachings, service is the royal road. It's kryptonite to the ego is one of Guruji's guru's service to one's guru is kryptonite to the ego. And ultimately selfless service is the highest life you can live. And because we are already in service of something, we can use active service, conscious service, building your awareness through the act of being actively serving selflessly, or look at it the other way, as Guruji points out, is actual service, it has selflessness built into it. There's actually a wonderful quote. Let's start with some quotes from Swami Premadaya, Jai Jai Swami Premadaya. And one is, the opportunity for service is a gift. People may think that service is simply serving the master and do not always understand that service to one's guru is the highest form of pure sadhana, spiritual practice. The greatest spiritual benefit that derives from serving is to the one who is doing the service. So I'll say that one again. The greatest spiritual benefit that derives from serving is to the one who is doing the service.
So it's, you.
Yeah.
You yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's more, but I'll say that service has been my primary road. The road for me has been that of service. Guruji has pointed out a long time ago to me, and it took me many years to really get it, that I'm a naturally worshipful person. Like, I have worship as a part of my, like, I came in with it. I didn't learn it. It's just, it's a worship is part of my nature. And my way of practicing that is service. So it's service as worship. And because you're always in service to something, you can just become more and more conscious of it. Active in it, and be, you know, then be aware. And in that, I'm the one that always benefits. It's like being the host to divine guests. And so you're serving the divine guests. Obviously that is like, it's such a light unto me. And since only the divine is, it's certainly lifts you if you're in service of the divine, if you're conscious and serving.
Yeah, and the eradicating the ego part is there's the ego is what you want, but then what service does is lift you up to what actually is in store for you, what actually God wants. So that's actually that's the whole aim of the spiritual path. So this road, the road of service, that it's clear that you're on it. It's like, thanks to you, ICODA has all this wealth of material available online from Adaya TV. It's because at a certain moment, the urge to serve the mission was so big in you that you started recording everything and then start to put out everything. And that is all. It's, of course, it's a huge benefit to you. I say, of course, but I can, yeah. From my own experience, I know that service is beneficial for the person who is serving. But at the same time, in serving the guru's mission, you also served a lot of people, all the disciples, all interested people who see a Premadaya video. So yeah, to be a useful tool, to be useful in serving, not about what you want, but what God wants. Yeah.
Yeah. And using that example, there's lots of times and in places where I certainly didn't feel like doing service mm-hmm. or, sure. But by making my guru's mission more important, to making that my focus, mm-hmm. it's actually not even something that I did. It's the heart call was so responsive that it just was, this was right. Mm-hmm. And that has served me all along the way, in the sense that I, you know, whatever crisis is there, whatever I need to deal with myself, whatever trouble, I've always had refuge in service, because it doesn't matter how you feel or what you're going through, you just be of service. And so it ends up being a refuge. It ends up being a mooring in the seas. And so there's always this place of service, regardless of what I'm going through in my own, on my own journey, in my own, on my own path. Mm-hmm. And so that has been so, it's been the workout that has just made me so spiritually strong. Yeah, and so that's the benefit we're talking about, is it really has been a true refuge. I've been able to do anything that was going on in my life. It's like anything can go on, ups and downs, and the refuge of service has been a true boon. So there's a quote similar to what you just said. There's a quote on this, and then I'll go back to the other one whenever the right time is, but I just have to jump to this. Service is the highest form of spiritual practice, but you get that benefit only if you prepare yourself to actually engage in selfless, egoless service. Up until that point, it amounts to at least some degree of self-gratification. Real service has no self-gratification in it. Real service is actually selfless. Mm. The boon of service is, for every moment you're doing the service, you are in selflessness. You are out of the ego. Every moment you're not in the ego is good for you. Every moment you're not in the ego is more practice of on how to once and for all step away from that. And that's what the spiritual path is, learning how to live. I missed the key word, not. Learning how to not live in your ego. Nothing works better than service. There is no opportunity in a human life. There is no better opportunity in a human life for actual advancement.
And in doing service, I notice it shows you who you really are. All the service I did, all of a sudden I realized, like, I'm capable of all these things I was not aware of that I was capable of. I'm actually reliable. Mm-hmm. Shows me so many things in just doing the service. And for me, it's still there's one specific moment where I feel I learned everything there is to know about service, because when you spoke about heartfelt, it was so heartfelt. It was super inconvenient. I had become just recently a disciple. It was my first in-person retreat I attended. And Swami Premadaya, our beloved guru, merely suggested to me, like, why don't you stay a day longer? I'm from Europe, so I have to take planes. I had a return ticket, and my return ticket was for the day after the retreat. But 2 days after the retreat, the guru would move from one location to another, actually from where you lived to another place. And he said, like, then you can see the place. And that seemed to be his only intent. Like, if you stay a bit longer, then you see the new place. It's a really nice place. It's at the beach, etc. And I did that. It took me a lot of turmoil to go through, to like, oh my God, and then I have to change my ticket. It's not a big deal. But at the time, those things were big deals. Like, I have to change my ticket, and oh my God, what will my wife say? Of course, she was fine with it. Everything was absolutely fine. I arranged everything, but it felt like a lot to be able to just stay one day longer. And that one day longer, there was also the opportunity to move stuff from the guru from one location to another location. And I was able to basically bring suitcases to the car. And that just staying this one day longer and just picking up these suitcases and moving them to a car, it opened my heart so much. I started to weep. I was so happy, joyous. That was my first feeling of, and it was actual, it was selfless service. I was just doing, and it was just as simple as just picking up a suitcase and bringing it to a car. And it made me, in hindsight, at the moment I was just a puddle on the floor inside of myself. And it made me realize what great opportunities there are in just basically when asked, like, okay, if you take the suitcase, you bring it to the car and we move it. Everything that's in this in service, I'm trying to convey the feeling. It was so rich. It was so grand. It was so marvelous. And I felt there what you said, that service is also worship. It felt so worshipful. It was an ecstatic experience. And the only thing I did was people from the outside looking in would say, like, a guy lifting a suitcase and bringing it to a car.
And but let's also take a moment and identify what happens for disciples when relating to their guru. And we look at the guru as a guru. It's very simply a guru function. It's a function. We don't relate to a person. We're not talking about an individual. We're talking about the function of guru in relationship to disciple. You're meeting. It's beyond. I love Swami Premadaya's tagline for many years is beyond self. It's beyond the relatings of two people. You're not relating as two people. But look how what the guru function did. With one comment, which is entirely, there's no demands, there's no requests, there's just a comment. Hey, you know, think about this. But look how that unraveled all this attitude, mind, structure, idea. I have to do this, but I have to fly out at this time. And all of this just unraveled like an onion. Mm-hmm. And then you're now available in a radically different way, because all this structure we had built in our mind that the guru function just with one simple sentence, with one simple suggestion, unraveled all that, and then you're available for and relating in a whole different way. And now that extra day is, you end up in a sense working. Yes. You know, it's not like you went to the to a park or to the beach or Twitter, but you're not really working. It's not a job. Yeah. But what you end up doing is you end up helping somebody move. But that somebody is your guru. Yeah. And now you're relating in that. So now you're, I mean, look at it. It's actually a beautiful, it's beyond an analogy. What are you doing? You're basically getting rid of your baggage. You're carrying the baggage you were carrying, you dropped, and you replaced it with the suitcase of the guru, with it ends up being gems. And it really is a beautiful example, because we are in service of all the time anyway. And we have this idea, and most of us are in service to our ego. Most of us are in service to our beliefs, our ideas, all our conditionings. We're all in, usually we're conditioned into being, to serving that. Everything we do, everything we put our attention to, everything we work for, everything we spend our money on is usually in service of that. So when that drops, even for a minute, and it becomes selfless service, seva, especially, and so the guru is a vehicle for that. The guru and the guru's mission is a vehicle for that. So then you're serving other people. You're serving the guru's mission. I mean, we actually at ICODA, International Centers of Divine Awakening, founded by Swami Premadaya, Jai Jai Swamiji, we're blessed to have this podcast that is presented by ICODA and in the tradition and celebrating our beloved guru, Swami Premadaya. I got lost in the feeling so much that I don't even have anything to say. I just want to sit in that. I can't believe that we get to sit here and have a podcast. That's presented by ICODA, and the fact that we are sharing in bhakti, the bhakti path, and there is no guru bhakti without service. One of the points I do want to make is, if all you do is service, is also balancing. First of all, it's natural and normal. We just talked about briefly that you're always in service to something. Well, if it doesn't become selfless service, if it isn't about giving back, if all you are is a taker, then it's, your spiritual path is out of balance. It's too self-focused. If you're only ever focused on yourself, you're missing the natural flow of life. You are in service of. So if you use the spiritual path to only be self-focused, we all have to focus on ourselves. We all have to be responsible for ourselves. And we all are responsible for ourselves. So that's absolutely the spiritual path. But if it's only about yourself, you'll never get as far as you can, because there has to come the point where yourself is put down. You just have to heal enough. You just have to grow enough to where all of that can be put down and you're not living the ego life. So service and guru bhakti yoga, guru bhakti, which is clearly the path with Swami Premadaya. The beautiful part of Swami Premadaya is it is all paths. It's your path. Our mission is another one of our taglines. So it truly is your path. But if it doesn't include service as part of the path, it'll never be a balanced road. It'll always be focused. A way to say it simply is, it'll always end up in the selfish path. And selfishness is not what gets you to the end point. It's not what gets you to God, to truth, or reality, whatever word you prefer. If you want to go all the way, selfishness has to be given up in selflessness. And service is required to balance that out. Otherwise, you're just always a taker. You're always focused.
Yeah. Yeah. And life is relating, and relating is giving and taking. And if you're only taking, then basically you're not living. You're not living rightly, to say the least. The whole ego eradicating aspect of it is also very interesting. Whenever or a suggestion or a task, we at ICODA, International Centers of Divine Awakening, we have lots of service opportunities. When we have meetings or gatherings, people volunteer, people help out. There's very specific tasks to do, whether it's recording or broadcasting, or there's several things. And there are always very specific tasks and specific ways or instructions given. And I certainly have done that a lot in the past, thinking like, oh, but I came up with a better way. And it's really interesting to see that in myself, or whether it's just whenever being around our beloved guru, and if he asks something in a specific way, my mind tends to go to like, ooh, there must be an optimal way or a better way. And that's always, aha, okay, ego. And service shines such a light on this aspect of ego. Whenever I think like, there must be a better way, then I'm occupied with my way. Then I'm not busy with selfless service. Then I am like, self-serving. Like, if I optimize this, then there's maybe brownie points in it for me. I don't even know if that is then the actual idea behind that. But ego eradicating, showing the ego, pinpointing, like, really, and also sticking holes in it.
Yeah, I can give a really good example of this from when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. So I was raised how I was raised, with lots of early developmental trauma in awful situations. I felt terrible all the time. I was angry all the time. I had a mohawk, all those things. I was definitely fed and given the idea that there's something wrong with you, all of these things. But I was on my way home from high school. So, I was young. So that's why there's no judgment or criticism. I can share this story without it being any sort of drama. And there was a car crash. And I immediately saw the car crash. I saw the people come. And I immediately just knew what to do or whatever. And so I ran up the hill to a house. And I paused for just a second. And I was like, I hope someone sees me doing the right thing. And so because this is so long ago and it's a teenager, and we give lots of, what are you going to do, judge a teenager? But I mean, I'm carrying this burden inside myself. And I'm speaking with now 20 years of spiritual practice and lots of work, so I can speak about this very clearly and with nothing attached to it. But it's a good example of what happens. That kid, who we won't judge, but at that moment, of definitely doing the right thing, what need, just acting and instinctual and going, but also there's just a split moment pause of wondering, geez, I hope people can see that I'm actually okay. It's just like, I mean, I get it, that's fine. But anyway, I ran on to we didn't have cell phones in those days. So we called 911, made sure that person was taken care of. They ended up fine. There wasn't airbags then either, so lots of stitches and all things. So we ran up, we called 911, came back, whatever. But there's that moment of like, it's about me and I hope people can see me. And then it's like, no. Get rid of all of that. None of that matters. You don't matter. So, especially in an emergency situation, it's just about serving that one. That's an extreme example, but I can highlight, I'll never forget that split moment of just being caught and being like, geez, I hope Heather can see me.
Yeah. And that is like seva, selfless service. That's the spiritual type of service. And then there's the service we normally understand in the world. Any service is seen as the same, actually. in the world. Mm-hmm. That is something we covered recently in the Karma course.
Yeah, that's a great course. The online course that is available through our website, i-coda.org. We have an online self-paced course, which is truly profound and powerful and transformational. It is a phenomenal course. It's called Karma. What is it and how to make it good? You were saying it covers?
Yeah, it covers. I wanted to say everything. and maybe it covers everything, but it also covers service, because you can do service selflessly. It's all about the attitude you have when you do the service. If your service is selfish or selfless, it's a very big difference. Go ahead.
And while we're on the topic, it occurs to me, you know, I really want to emphasize where all of this comes from. And everything that we're talking about, all the understanding of the practice itself, the Karma course, all comes from Swami Premadaya. His wisdom, ways, and practices that he's been giving and sharing and living for the last 20 years. It's 20 years of ongoing of his mission. And I say it that way because his service is, his divine mission is, to make himself available to people spiritually. That was his divine mission given in 2004. And that's what we serve. Mm-hmm. We serve being available. I mean, listen to it very carefully. It's very precise to make yourself available to people spiritually. And we answer the phone. How can we be of service? Thank you for calling iCoda. How can we be of service? And it really is your path, our mission. We simply make ourselves available, make Guruji's mission and his availability, all this 20 years of speaking publicly, of workshops, of retreats, courses, programs. And that's the mission that we carry on, certainly as disciples, we live in support of that divine mission. And nothing in that is about me. Nothing in that is about Swami Premadaya. It's all about serving you, serving others. It's just about making himself available to people spiritually, and we are in service of that. And like we've talked about a little bit here, there's all kinds of ways that's what is in you is illuminated. Mm-hmm. What you need to work on, how your ego operates, what your core issues might be. And the truth is none of that matters in service. You just do the service.
And the guru, it's great that you pointed that out. The guru is actually the servant, capital S. Mm-hmm. The servant, he or she serves his disciples.
What one thing people don't ever really get, even us disciples, and Guruji has made it clear to us, but actually see for yourself. It's like, you know, he can point you in the direction, but you should see for yourself. It's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? There's no debate. What came first, the guru or the disciple? Well, the disciple asks for discipleship. And since I'm the first person who asked for discipleship, I can tell you unquestioningly, there is no doubt ever. Luckily, the doubt does not run my life. And I just know without question, one, that Swami Premadaya was never interested in being a guru, or even before he became a formal guru offering discipleship, he was never interested in being a spiritual teacher. So make himself available to people spiritually was like, okay, you make a spiritual center, become a spiritual teacher, but not that guru thing. And then I'm the one that definitely was the first person that asked for discipleship. And we already covered that story in a previous episode, but how, you know, it's the guru who ends up being available for discipleship because of the disciple.
Mm. Yeah.
Nobody's a guru who says, I'm a guru. And that's not a real guru. That's just, I don't know what that is, but no real guru walks around saying, I'm a guru. It's the disciple who comes to whose heart call, whose call, and then the guru responds. And then the guru disciple relationship is formed, but it's the call of the divine that puts the disciple with the guru, and it's the guru that responds to the disciple. So who's the one in service? It's the guru that is in constant service.
Yeah, and our guru, our beloved Swami Premadaya, he gave his life to his mission.
Mm-hmm.
Gave his life to his disciples like that. That's
now. I'll just say gives because Guruji gives, still giving.
Of course.
You're right, but I'm just gonna have to say gives.
He
still gives his whole life. Mission.
Yeah. At a certain point, he started giving, and yeah. Yeah, and actually, if I may, you, Swami Sky, and also Aiden. Lineage holder, legacy holder. In becoming lineage holder and legacy holder, that's actually also your position, like your service. You give yourself completely, totally to service, to the mission, to our guru's mission, to make yourself available to people spiritually. You too make yourself available to all who want to come, disciples, non-disciple. Yeah, you give yourself.
That's true. It's a good reminder.
Mm.
It's a good reminder. Yeah, Aiden has absolutely given his life to the guru and the guru's mission, and I've absolutely given my life to the guru's mission and serving those who this path may serve.
Mm-hmm.
And it was part of the practitioner training program in 2006, that there was the guidance path and the service path. That was the original formation of it. And I was on the service path. So when I took the practitioner training program, it was focused on the service path. Which is very beautiful. And so a lot of the spiritual path, the journey itself ends up feeling like Mr. Miyagi and the Karate Kid. You really do like, you're like, wait, I'm sanding the deck. Why am I sanding the deck? I could sand the deck better. Why do I have to do it in this circle? I don't have to do it in this circle. Do I? He's like, sand the deck, like this, wax on, wax off. And all of a sudden, you know, spiritual life. And all of a sudden, stop fighting. Stop changing the motion.
Mm-hmm.
Do it the way as instructed. And then all of a sudden, you're practicing out of ego. And one day, you're like, oh, I can block kicks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's true. Karate Kid, big impact on me too. Yes.
Yeah.
And also that. Yeah.
Yeah. It really is the practical understanding, the necessary wisdom. That's why we say wisdom ways.
Mm-hmm.
The necessary wisdom, but you actually have to do the practice. And you have these tremendous gifts on the path, especially if you're on the path with a guru, a living guru, that guru function, that response is actually taking you somewhere. Now, you always end up where you already are. You actually don't go anywhere. And it is much more about removing the garbage than it is about gaining anything. Of course, but that is the essence of that is like going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's my cough again. Excuse me.
Yeah, and it is saying, I want God. And as disciples, in one way or another, we say, we want God. Even if you're not a disciple, you just want God. You want the spiritual. You want to live more spiritually. Yeah.
Well, and there's a lot of people who do have an issue with the word God, and rightfully so. There's a lot of societal. There's a lot of religion conditioning. There's a lot of dogma. There's a lot of it becomes a prison for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I love the word God. I have no problem with it, but many people do. So just understand that when we say God, we mean truth. Yeah. We mean reality. We mean your real self, or even beyond the infinite, the eternal, the divine, the light in everyone. So we just want to throw out there to not get hung up in words and go straight to the essence. So anyway, you were saying, please continue.
Yeah, that it's actually always about, in one way or another, go beyond ego. And with service is such an amazing way, such an amazing tool. We talked about it, but the richness in it, it's most of the time not convenient at all, but going beyond this convenience is also going beyond your own ego.
In that sense, it's never convenient. Guruji actually says real service is never convenient. And part of the reason why it's never convenient is because it's going beyond all those conditioned responses, reactions. It's going beyond all of our ideas, perceptions. So in that sense, it's never convenient, because if it's convenient, it's been bent into something that's better for you. So like you were saying, oh, if I could figure out a more efficient way to do this, well, then it becomes about me, about what's best for me.
Yeah.
Somebody else might be saying, I need this. If you really want to be of service, if you're going to serve at the soup line, you don't serve based on what's easier for you. You serve based on what the needs are of the person who's in line.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't really like the smell of tomatoes. It's like, but tomato soup is all we have, and this person's hungry. I actually have a story. So one of the beautiful things that Swami Premadaya has done for a number of people, and I'll speak for myself because I'm me and it's easier to speak about, is sent people to other teachers. He has repeatedly done that over and over and over in throughout the years. And in the early days, when I showed up to Swami Premadaya, I had no spiritual education. I didn't know anything about gurus, teachers, disciples, satsang teachers. I had no idea. I basically went from no real understanding. I was raised Catholic, but no real understanding of even religion. Somehow even that religion didn't get in. I had a little bit of a spiritual, I read a couple of spiritual books. I shared some of those stories here, but I had no spiritual understanding. I didn't really know about teachers. So my first experience of a spiritual teacher, a living spiritual teacher, a guru, especially, well, this is before Swami Premadaya was a guru, but any of it was just a couple of books. And then all of a sudden, I found myself, which is our first episode of Bhakti Talk podcast, I found myself with Swami Premadaya, and he really wanted me to have a greater spiritual education. So an experience and see other teachers and other gurus. So I, with his suggestion, I had gone to see, a couple of teachers, and then I went to see Amaji, the hugging saint, who is just very, very dear to my heart. I keep her. She's right. I just passed her twice. She's right there on the altar I have behind me. Amma really, I had a profound experience going to see Amma. Very, very profound. Life-changing. And it was so profound that I went back the next day just to be of service. I said, I'm here just to be of service. And they were a little unprepared for that. I think maybe people sign up ahead of time. I don't know. I don't know what they, this is also many, many years ago. So please understand that this is 20 years ago now. And there was probably at these events, she has her public event and then she has a, like a 2-day retreat, which is what you have to register for. So I had shown up to the retreat for just to be of service. Just I'm here, just whatever is needed. And I ended up getting to wash the bowl that they do blessings from. So it's like I just am in awe that I even get to do the dishes. I'm basically doing Amma's dishes. And I just am floored. I can't believe that I'm in this situation. I went there with no agenda. And I went there to be of service. Whatever you say, I will be available for. And there was such an emptiness. And I can't believe I got to wash this bowl. And as I'm washing this bowl, a delivery comes. And the delivery is a tech guy. He's delivering a huge TV. Now, 20 years ago, huge TVs were really, really heavy. Lots of work. They had road cases. And I see the guy, and there's some people kind of getting the guy who's the AV video, whatever guy, and nobody really knows what to do. And this guy's a bit, the delivery driver's a bit short, and not in stature, but in attitude and kind of agitated. He's a bit agitated. And I was like, I'll help. I can, you know, at the time I'm working in the film industry now for the past 4 or 5 years. This is kind of right up my alley, dropping stuff off and setting stuff up. So sure. And there it's like drop. So I helped this guy, you know, unload, take it up. It was a second floor where they're, you know, for the retreat, they have this video presentation, whatever. And I go back down and finish my dishes. And now there's kind of, it's kind of escalating. So the delivery driver is now very, very upset. And he is angry and everybody's kind of starting to the energy of Amma is already wild. It's such a profound transmission. So I understand it a bit. But now there's this guy who's genuinely angry and agitated and nobody will deal with him. Nobody. Nobody will like talk to him. And I'm just kind of watching all this. And so I'm like, all right. I don't even remember having a thought. I remember going and just talking to the guy or whatever. So the short of it, I'm going to give you the short version. This guy is really, really agitated. He's really, and the people around are like, I can't talk to him. He's too angry. He's too whatever. And so I'm like, no problem. And I end up talking to the guy. It's a Saturday. He's supposed to, what his boss had told him is he's supposed to drop the TV and go, and that's it. What ended up happening is he's supposed to then go. His girlfriend is to graduate from college, and he's to drive her. So that's his situation, which took a long time to figure out. And nobody took the time to listen to him and find this out. And what the AV guy did, and he was from Germany, and there wasn't a great amount. English wasn't the first language of either the delivery driver or the person receiving. The person receiving, what his view was, I don't want to receive the TV until it's been tested and I know it works, because we don't want to pay for this if it doesn't work. So I need to set it up and test it. So he's planning on setting it all up. And the delivery guy's like, whoa, I'm supposed to just drop this off and go. And so now he's getting on the phone with his boss. So the whole point is this guy was so upset, and he was tearing because he had promised that he would take his girlfriend to her graduation. They didn't make other arrangements, so he thought she was going to miss grad. Anyway, the whole situation unfolded because somebody was finally willing to listen. But if you look at that situation, both people are entirely focused on themselves. Yeah. We're not going to be critical or judge anyone, but nobody ever, this whole group of thousands of people, nobody was ever willing to just listen, to just be available, to just find out what's going on. And is there something we can do? Are you willing to release this? And if you don't, if it doesn't work, there is no payment. Are you able to, is there somebody else that can replace you as the driver? Can you, like, there was nothing for anyone. There just was two views and two experiences, and no, this has to be my way. And oh my God, this whole thing. And so I got in the middle of all of it, and I settled all those people down, found out all the information. And I just was like, well, wait a minute here. We're supposed to be a spiritual group of people. And the attitude at one point from the person doing the AV equipment was, that guy's too angry. I'm not going to talk to him. It's like, well, he's a person who, he's the one that needed love the most. And so I resolved this situation. We did everything we can. The gentleman, all of this is in Amma's grace, but you know, it's like, the guru's grace is bringing up all of this to be addressed, and actual selfless service. You can see your own stuff operating. You can put it all down. And so I went back to the kitchen and I looked back after this was resolved and the gentleman was on his way and the TV was doing whatever the TV does. And I went back to the kitchen and I said, that's what, to the person managing things. And I said, well, that's why I was here. I'm going to go now. And she looked at me and she said, well, did you want to sit in on the workshop? Like you can, and I said, no, that's why I was here. Because it felt wrong, because I didn't come here to work and then get something for it. Mm. Now I get to go and listen to Amma for free. I didn't pay the fee. And I just said, no. I'm going to go now. That's clearly why I was here, unless you need something else. She said, no, we're good. So I left. So that was really such, and here I am, the guru sent me here. My guru mm-hmm. sent me here. And in guru's grace, here's Amma's grace actually bringing up. And then we have the choice. Do you want to be like, oh, I don't want to deal with this? All that, not dealing with it, was what made that guy angry.
Yeah.
He had something else going on and he just needed somebody to turn towards him and listen. And that's it. So that was really a profound example of service for me in a large organization, a large group of people that I could objectively feel. And then in our organization at ICOTA, this same guru's grace is going on through service all the time. And it really has been my decision, and it almost doesn't even feel like a decision because it just seems so right to be available for and in service of Guruji's work. Because there's no, because that's just, it's just natural. It's like, why does a gardener tend to the flowers? Well, I mean, that's what gardeners do. It's like, here's the guru's flowers are all these, all this incredible work, which we've made available to people. And it's just the right thing to do. It's just in service of, excuse me, but it's just also such a joy. It's literally given me, I'm the one who has received in all of this. Yeah. It's grown me. I've been able to get out of my own way, and everything that I have, it's always funny to say I have, but whatever I've grown in any, because it is spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. Any spiritual growth that I can be aware of comes from service. And it comes from my guru, of course, and it comes from service.
Yeah. Yeah. And ego eradication, it's also 100% about growing up. Like you said, you grow a lot, and it's also growing up. Who doesn't want to do anything or only wants to have her or his way? Children. Yeah. And it's fine because they're children. It's fine. They are developing their egos. That's all part of growing up. But then actually, ultimately growing up is going beyond your ego.
Yeah, so this is surprising to people sometimes. It was surprising to me the first time I heard it, but Guruji has explained some people actually need to grow their ego. You actually have to have a strong enough ego to where you can put it down. Because if it's too gelatinous, or it has to be, you still have it, your ego is a tool. As long as you're a human being, you're going to have an ego. But if it's running the show, well, then you're not living your own life. Your ego is living it for you. And the vast majority of people never get out of ego enough to where they live in freedom. They live in the prison of the ego. Reaction, reactivity. And that's where the responsibility does come in. You are responsible for yourself and living your life. And service and making life as other people, one of Guruji's core teachings, is truly the way out of ego.
Absolutely. And Seva makes us realize we're part of something way bigger, and that is also life. Life is other people.
The happiest people I have ever come across in my entire life are those who have truly learned to be of service, whether it's your mechanic, whether it's your musician, whether it's the person serving you in the cafeteria, whether it's your fellow human being just down the street. It's those who've been able to be the happiest people I have ever known have learned the art of selflessness through service. So that should be a clue.
Absolutely. And it's actually now you saying this, it reminds me of orchestras. But not everyone knows. my beloved oldest son Loka is a musician, and he's studying to become a musician. He goes to a lot of concerts, and especially classical music and orchestras. He's not necessarily interested in being in an orchestra, but actually an orchestra. People are, and I actually asked him, Loka, a couple of times, like, oh yeah, but these orchestras, it's all the same. And why are you always wearing all these same clothes? And it's like, and his answer is like, it's about the music. It's about the music. It's not
it's
about
a good
like
answer. It's very
And that's also in an orchestra, everyone, and that is so beautiful. I started to see that then also in an orchestra, everyone is serving the music. They have one goal, and they are all together working just for the music. It's not about them. Of course, they want to play good, and of course, they have to be up to the standard that is expected of them. But it's all about just making this one beautiful thing together. And a sangha can all ideally also operates as an orchestra.
that is something that people are very confused nowadays, and there's a lot of suffering because we've made it no longer about whatever it is about, if it's your passion or we've made it about image more than anything else, because now it's music, but as marketing, or it's service, but as marketing. And, in other words, there's this whole social media element it's about the marketing of it rather than it is about the relating of it. And so it's really taught people to be very fractured instead of to be whole, instead of be total. And again, there's an absolute perfect way out of this. And that is to be of service. Selfless service is all, because everything can be contained in. You can do anything. You can still do all the work and whatever the current trends are that you have to engage in to have a successful anything. But you can still come from the place of selflessness. It's just like you can use the example of the soup kitchen earlier. You can go to that soup kitchen as prideful as, look at me, look at what a great person I am. Oh, I'm so good. or you can just drop all of that and be actually available for and actually relate to and be of actual service of whatever it is you're engaged in.
Yeah.
It's all the stuff that's programmed into us that can be dropped, and you can actually drop all that and be available for. And that is truly the gift of the guru. The guru function, I would love people to get it so much that when you have actually entered into formal discipleship, there's mm-hmm. just this different, it's a different plane. It's the divine domain. For those who have gotten married, it's like when you get married, it's different. You're in a very, very different situation. It's just different. There's a different kind of relating, and that guru function. If you enter into the guru disciple relationship with a living master, it doesn't have to be a living master. I'm certainly not going to put any limits on any guru, but an actual guru, and you enter into the formal guru disciple relationship, there's just a different domain that you're now functioning in, and then the practice, the service, has a whole different effect. Like we were saying, your awareness grows, you see what operates, but the boon of selfless service in that grows you exponentially. It's just incredible. And I truly honor those who are of service. There are, look at the greatest masters of all time. They certainly, each one of them, has had, excuse me, such incredible service, and most of them have given their life, and oftentimes their life has given in the ultimate sacrifice. Their life is shortened, or they're out and outright poisoned. But it's humanity owes a debt that we can never repay to those who have given their life to the ultimate spiritual service, the masters. Mm. The greats, the Martin Luther Kings, who it's like we as a human race are so focused on our own material existence so much that we miss that the great masters are why we're still alive. That's the ultimate. I'm just talking, you don't have to become a Gandhi to engage in selfless service.
Yeah.
You can actually do it every day anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And the best other word for service is giving, like giving mm-hmm. yourself without asking or expecting anything in return. The giving.
Yeah. And we are, life is a giving and receiving situation. Yeah. That's what the in-breath and the out-breath is. But, I was using my teenage self as an example. But it is sort of a good example in the sense that it's with freedom, though. It's free. It's clean.
Yeah.
Not I give you. It's available for you can give freely. And because you're giving and receiving all the time anyway. And it really is. It's an empty giving, or it's an empty availability. It's an availability without, and I'm available only if, and at these times, and if it equals this, and if I give you this, what are you going to give me back? So it's dropping all business deals. It's being completely available for, and it's responding from, I like availability and responding, which is, can be summarized in giving. I only say that because we have so many hangups around giving. It's like, I've got to give you the best gift in order. I have to give you a better gift than you give me in order for all kinds of wacky stuff.
In service, knowing it also as a disciple who has a living guru, there's in the seva, there's no demand whatsoever. When it's a demand, then it's not seva, then it's something else. It's the selfless service comes from, like you said, freedom. It's always, service is always an invitation That's also what a guru always does, or I can only really speak about my guru. It's an invitation. There's always the invitation to serve. It's always an invitation. So yes, an invitation includes freedom. There's indeed a lot of freedom, a lot of freedom.
Well, Guruji has always said that the guru is always a freedom giver, not a freedom limiter.
Yeah.
So even in service of, that's part of what I hear what you're saying is, like, in service of is in, it's a freedom giver. It's and when you are truly, you know, people think, oh, selfless service, whatever, they would lots of ideas around it. It's real selfless service. There's an absolute freedom in it, because there's a freedom in you, but there's also freedom because you're not somehow putting a bunch of requirements on the other. You're not invasively, you know, I'm giving this to you. You're not creating a business deal. I'm giving this to you so that you'll then, now's your time to say thank you because I gave you this. No, real service is freedom promoting, not freedom limiting. And it's, that includes within yourself. It's like this, it's part of the Mr. Miyagi, going back to that, because this selflessness is also freedom in you. It's freedom in relating to the other. It's freedom. So selfless service is a requirement. Practicing this is a requirement until it becomes your actual life. It's the same as meditation. Meditation is a required part of the spiritual path. You meditate until this is Guruji's quote. You meditate until life meditates you, till your life becomes meditation. You practice selfless service until the ego has been vanquished, and then you're free. Then you're just living in it. Then your life becomes that of selfless service. Yeah. And that life doesn't look a certain way. So you have these incredibly high examples that are mind blowing, and it truly have, you know, prolonged humanity on earth without these life sacrifices from the great masters and gurus and teachers of time. There's no doubt in my mind that humanity would have fallen apart by now, or destroyed itself by now. So, but that doesn't mean that that's what your life has to look like. Because as soon as you say my life has to look a certain way, that's already limiting your freedom. There's no question that you can be a janitor in a school and be living a total life of service. There's no question that you can be a monk in a monastery and living a whole life of service. You can also be a monk in a monastery and be living an entire ego-filled life. Yeah. So it's service is required. You are living a life of service. And so we'll just say it again, and I think this is a good way to end, which is, what are you serving? Actually look, consider, let us know. We love to hear from people. Send us, what are you actually in service of? And then the question is this what you want to be serving? And if it's not, what would you like to do to change it? And to which we would respond, how can we be of service?
how wonderful. And what a surprise that this whole podcast about service turned out to be about freedom.
Yeah. And
of course, freedom.
Real service means freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom from all of these conditions. And living in freedom and being of service to that. Part of living in freedom in here is making sure you aren't imprisoning anybody out here.
Jai Jai Premodaya.
Jai Jai Gurudev.
The Bhakti Talk podcast is presented by the International Centers of Divine Awakening. Find us on the ICODA website, where you can also check out our calendar of upcoming spiritual growth events and transformational programs. We have a lot of them. And get access to a free spiritual wisdom library of over 650 full-length recordings from Swami Premodaya Wisdom Work. Visit i-coda.org. And thank you for listening. Absolutely. Thank you so much. We give gratitude to you and honor your spiritual path. Thank you to our beloved Sangha for your support, and a most ecstatic thank you to our beloved Guru, Swami Premadaya, Freedom Giver. Your wisdom ways and practices continue to be the transformational light on the spiritual path. Jai Jai.
Jai Jai Gurudev.
Swami Premadaya.